tough.
Morning, Dr. Mitchell.
Good morning. Good morning.
It was very
powerful. What time is it? In the
body. Schneider called me. I says, okay, let me stop at Shishi. I'm going to go do the healing. And I'm like, sure gonna. Then you're not going to finish the healing. You're not going to finish.
So last time, we were talking about the story in the Talmud about the King Ptolemy.
Right.
Ptolemy summoned the 70 sages, and he asked them to translate the Torah for him. And he was afraid that they were going to give him a watered-down version of Torah. So he asked these 70 sages to go in different rooms, and each of them to translate the Torah, so that way, you know, they wouldn't try to, like, just give him a different version of Torah. They could get the authentic version of Torah. But as we learned, the sages all decided, with divine inspiration, sitting in different rooms, that they needed to change the Torah, because he wouldn't get it if they gave it in the regular way. And the first change they made was in the...
And all the changes were the same.
All the changes were the same, right? The first change they made was the first letter, the first word of the Torah. They were afraid that Talmai would think that there's some god called Bereshis. That's the first word of the Torah. And he created this other god called Elohim. And therefore, they in the Torah, they put the word Elohim first. God. They put God first. God created in the beginning instead of in the beginning, God created. So everything...
They switched the order.
So everything in the Torah is very precise. So, although they had their reasons for doing it, but the fact is that their Torah, the way it is presented to the king, Ptolemy, it starts with the letter Aleph, and the Torah, the way we have it, it starts with the letter Beis.
Doesn't that sound also like God created a new god called Bereshis?
That's a different discussion in detail, how that nuance changed things. But the point that I wanted to talk about was the letter Aleph versus letter Beis. As we learned last time, that the meaning of the letter Beis instead of the letter Aleph, Torah beginning with letter Beis versus beginning with letter Aleph, is that we want to, the word Beis means the number two. And what we want to convey with the number two is that there's something in the Torah that is coming from somewhere else, and it's been given to us in a different form. It's the second version, let's say, of the Torah. And what does that mean, the second version of the Torah? So what we learned was about King Solomon. When the King Solomon, whenever he taught Torah, he gave 3,000 parables. And we learned, why did he give 3,000 parables? Because he understood the Torah in the highest world, in the world of Atzilus, in the world of perfection. And in order to present the Torah down to the worlds beneath it, to this world, each world has in it 1,000 levels. So you have to give 1,000 parables to bring the Torah down to the world of Bria, and 1,000 more parables to bring it down to the world of Yisir, and 1,000 more parables to bring it down to this world. So he's taking the Torah as it is from the highest world of Atzilus, and he's bringing it down to this world. So in general, there's 3,000 levels, and King Solomon is bringing it down lower and lower and lower. So although we're saying there's 3,000 levels, the truth is, in general, there are two levels. There is the Torah as it is in the highest world, the world of Atzilus. The world of Atzilus is analogous to a king in his own private chambers. All there is a king. In a similar way, the world of Atzilus is a world of divinity. It's a world of truth. It's a world where there is revealed how there's nothing besides Hashem. The worlds beneath Atzilus, that's where creation begins. Different kinds of creation, higher creations, lower creations. But the world of Atzilus is a world of godliness. So that's why the Torah is called a Mishal HaKanmeini. It's a parable for something else. We're learning Torah in this world about a guy who makes a deal with someone else, and one guy owns a donkey, and one guy owns a bull, and they switch. And what that means, according to Jewish law, who has the rights to the donkey and to the bull and to the baby that was born in the middle while they're in the process of switching, that whole discussion is what's happening in this world. But there's another discussion happening in a higher world. And the discussion that's happening in a higher world is actually the source of the discussion happening in this world. In other words, the discussion first is about a spiritual discussion. And it also has a physical manifestation in this physical world. But what we have in the physical world is a parable for the way the Torah is understood. Our great-grandparents are studying Torah in heaven, and they're learning the same Torah But they're learning the spiritual meaning of the Torah. As our Alter Rebbe explained in Torah Or, the Alter Rebbe explains the, we mentioned last time about the discussion about a certain kind of disease and its ritual status. Is it ritually pure or impure? If there's the white spot on someone's flesh and then there's a hair, a white hair, and what happens first? Does that affect the halacha? Does it pure or impure? And they're discussing what's happening. This discussion is happening in heaven. And we're learning, like, how could they have this discussion in heaven? In heaven, there are no white spots. There is no hair in heaven. In order to get to heaven, you have to go into this river. And the river makes you forget everything physically you saw in this world. So how can this Torah be talking about all the same things we're talking about in this world? And the answer is that we give an analogy. We have a few analogies about many things in this world that have a spiritual source. Let's say, for example, last time we gave an example of light and darkness. So there is light and darkness, physical light and physical light, darkness. But the Torah compares physical light and physical darkness to understanding. It says a fool walks in the darkness. So foolishness is called darkness and wisdom is called light. So is physical light different to spiritual light? Is it really different? Or is it the same essence? You have the sweetness of an apple, the sweetness of an idea, the sweetness of music, you have sweetness of kindness. Are they all the same kind of thing, or are they different things? So we learned this, although in our world, we eat an apple and the apple tastes sweet, that's not a different essence to the sweetness of an idea. It in fact, one comes from the other. The sweetness of the apple comes from the sweetness of the idea and comes from the higher worlds. And there's sweetness as it is in all the thousands of levels beyond this world. So although there are thousands of levels of sweetness, and there's also thousands of levels of Torah, there's a difference between the process of how Torah descends to this world versus how everything else descends to this world. According to what I'm saying, it seems like Torah is like everything else. Everything else has a divine source. And in their divine source, they're different the way that they are in the physical world. And Torah also has a divine source, and Torah's discussion is also different the way it is in the higher worlds. So what's really the difference between... So it seems that Torah is just like everything else. Torah is a parable for a higher world. And the sweetness of the apples is a parable for whatever it came from in the world of Bria. So is it the same? Is the Torah analogous, really, to the idea example? What is light and darkness? So we said light and darkness is really clarity. Clarity is what light and darkness are about. So there is clarity through an idea. There's clarity through physical light. But they're all the same essence. They're about clarity. What is sweetness? There's sweetness of an apple, sweetness of music, the sweetness of good character. But it's all the same essence. So in a similar way, with Torah, it seems the Torah is the same thing. Torah is as it is. There is Torah as it is in this world. There's Torah as it is in the higher worlds. And it's the same thing, just it's been contracted more. But there's a major difference between the way everything else descends to this world and the way the Torah is brought to this world. L'chaim. What's the difference? The difference is this. With the analogy of the sweetness of the apple, the sweetness of the idea, whatever, although it's the same essence, yes, they're both sweet, but there's a very big difference between the sweetness of an apple and the sweetness of an idea. The sweetness of kindness. The sweetness of an apple is a physical, earthy, coarse kind of thing. You could taste with your mouth, with your palate. The sweetness of an idea is a more edel, it's more refined. It's something that you could feel with your mind. Sweetness of kindness you feel with your heart. It's something which you need a more sensitive organ to feel what it is because it is more refined. So they're not really the same thing. I just said they are the same thing. They're the same in their essence. They're both sweet, but they're not the same in the... If the yardstick is how refined and how coarse they are, then they're very different. If we're using the talking the essence of what they are, yeah, they're both sweet. But if we're talking about the refinement, they're very different. Here is we're talking about light and darkness. You can't compare the light and darkness, physical light and physical darkness, to spiritual light and spiritual darkness, the darkness of of foolishness and the brightness and the clarity of wisdom. They're two completely different kinds of clarity. They're not the same kind of thing. One is more refined and one is more coarse. So they have the same essence, yes, but they're not the same. If the yardstick is how refined they are, they're very, very different. Would you say the same thing about Torah? Is the Torah that we're learning Torah, we're talking about a donkey, we're talking about a bull, is it the same as a donkey and the bull that discussed in heaven? Well, the donkey and the bull are different. The donkey and the bull that we learn about in this the world are absolutely different than the donkey and the bull that discussed in heaven. In heaven, they're talking about the spiritual counterpart of a donkey and a bull. No connection. But the halacha, the Torah's discussion about them, the godliness in the discussion, the spirituality in the discussion, although in our senses, we don't feel the godliness in the Torah, for us, just just a dry physical discussion. Reuven has a donkey, Shimon has a bull. But in our study of this law, inside our words, inside the Torah, as it is in this world, there is the godliness in this Torah. Is that the difference? By the apple, you don't have the sweetness of the idea in the apple. You don't have the sweetness of music in the apple. You just have the sweetness of the apple. You only have the physical part. You only have the coarse part. But with the Torah, in the physical Torah, there is a spiritual. In this physical Torah, there is the godliness in the Torah. It's not just physical. Compared to everything else. Everything else, all you have is some kind of counterpart to its essence as it was in the higher worlds. But with Torah, you have the godliness and you have the spirituality in the physical Torah. We don't sense it, but it's here. And that's the reason why we say in the after blessing, after we eat, we say, we thank you, Hashem, for your Torah that you taught us. So we're saying two different things. There's your Torah, there's the way Torah is in the highest world, the world of Atzilus, the way Torah is in the world of godliness. And there's the way we understand the Torah, that you've taught it to us in the lower worlds. But we say, so it sounds like it's different, but we emphasize, you taught us your Torah.
Isn't it our Torah?
So we say in our prayers and a blessing for the Torah, we thank you, Hashem, for giving us, He gave us His Torah. He gave us His Torah. It's the same point. In both of these prayers, you see this paradoxical thing. On the one hand, it's a godly Torah. It's His Torah. On the other hand, He gave it to us in the way we understand it.
It's a different respect. You have something, let's say, for example, I think you inherit this is an inheritance from my father. You have a different respect for it. It's something you somehow acquired yourself.
Right.
So it's His Torah. Yes, it's yours now. But it's still His Torah, I think.
There's another point over here. The point is that the godliness in the Torah is present in the physical Torah that we're learning. We're learning about a donkey and a bull. So donkey and a bull, if you have a discussion with your Elter Zayd in Gan Eden, your great-grandfather in Gan Eden, and you're learning the same subject he's learning, so you could use the same words, but he would have a whole totally different understanding. And yet, in your Torah, there is the same discussion in his Torah. It's present in your Torah. Let me say it again in these two prayers. We thank Hashem for your Torah that you taught us. Yes, there is a way Torah is in the higher world, and it's present in the Torah that we're learning. We don't feel the godliness in the Torah, but it's present. That's why the Gemara says, or in the other prayer, we thank you, Hashem, for the Torah, for your Torah that you gave us. It's in our Torah we have the godliness in the Torah. Although you gave it to us, it's still His Torah, not just in terms of respect, but in the terms of the godly quality in it. It's there, it's present in the Torah. Unlike all the other physical things, they've changed, they've mutated. They're not the same thing. The donkey and the bull are not the same as they were in the higher worlds. But the Torah is the same. It's still the godly wisdom of Hashem, even as we're studying in this world. And that's what the Gemara says in many places. For example, end of Perek Hamad during Ksubis, the Gemara says, how fortunate is a person who comes to heaven with Torah in his hands, with Talmud Biyada, with Torah in his hands. What's the Gemara saying? It seems to be a whole different discussion. You're going to go with the Torah you just learned today to Gan Eden and then talk to your Elter Alta Zayda. How can you have a conversation with him? It's two different things. And the answer is no, it's not two different things. In the Torah that you're learning in this world, there is encapsulated within that the godliness in the Torah, the spirituality of the Torah, it's all there in the Torah. And when you come to heaven, Moshiach is coming, no need to go to heaven, but in heaven, souls who have studied Torah in this world, they're re-examining the fire that was present in the Torah their entire lives. They didn't feel the fire in the Torah while they were learning it. But when they get to heaven, they feel now the fire and the godliness in the Torah that they studied in this world. So that's That's the meaning of why the Arizal says, now we can understand in a more deeper way, why the Arizal says the Torah starts with a base. The Arizal says why the Torah starts with a base, because the Torah that we have is a Torah of the second world, of the world of Bria. That there is a Torah as starts with an Aleph, the world of Atzilus, the highest world, the world of godliness. And then this is the way the Torah is given to us, the world of Bria, the lower world, the world of Bria. But when you call something a second to something else, if something has no relationship to the thing before, it's not called a second. What makes something called a second is because it's connected to the part before. We said in the Torah of Ptolemy, what does it start with, Josh, remember?
Ptolemy?
Yeah, his Torah?
His Torah?
The one that sages translated for him? It starts with which letter, remember?
Oh, base.
Our Torah starts with a base, but they switched it around.
I mean, Aleph.
Right, sorry. Exactly. It starts with an Aleph. So our Torah starts with a base, his Torah starts with an Aleph. Why? So when we study Torah, in our Torah that we're learning about a physical subject with our physical minds going to comprehend, we sense there's something deeper here. We know this is a second to something else. This is not the whole full subject. In this subject, in our discussion, we realize there's something deeper here.
There's an Aleph before that.
One second. Hold on. We're going to get there. I know where you're going. I'm going to get there. In Ptolemy's Torah, in his Torah, we said in our prayers, Hashem tells us, I gave you my Torah. The Gentiles, when a Gentile studies Torah, Gentiles are allowed to study certain parts of Torah. They're not supposed to study every part of Torah. They're allowed to study Torah that's relevant to their seven laws, relevant to their understanding of the truth of Hashem. They can study about, I heard the Rebbe say that certain parts of Tanya should be translated in all languages, like in Chinese, because Gentiles also have to appreciate the oneness of Hashem, and that's relevant to them as well. But when they study Torah, all they have is a subject that they're studying. Hashem gave into our Torah something else. Hashem implanted, if that's the right word, but within our Torah, it's not just the same essence as a Torah in heaven. And the analogy of the apple, the same essence, it's the sweetness of the apple is also the same sweetness that there is in music. And it's not just the same essence, it's also the same godliness. It's the same refinement. It's the same holiness. The Torah that we study has something else in it. We're learning in our minds some base. We're learning one subject. But within it, we sense there's an Aleph. We sense there's something higher. We sense that Tzilus. We sense a godliness in the Torah. We know that that's there. And that's why we thank Hashem for giving us His Torah. It's in our Torah. We have His Torah. We have godliness in our Torah. But in a Gentile's Torah, all he has is a subject that he's studying. There's nothing else there. That's why he calls it, this is all I have. Aleph, this is something new. It may have come from some higher world. That's fine. But all I have now is this Torah that I'm studying right now. And therefore, I'm calling this the first subject that I have. It's not connected to anything else. What I have, it may come from somewhere else. But in the Gentile's Torah, and when he studies Torah, all he gets is a subject. Hashem doesn't put into his Torah his essence. When Hashem gave us the Torah, as we learned last time, the first word that Hashem used to giving us the Torah is Anochi. I, my soul, I wrote it and I gave it. I put my essence in Torah. Hashem gave us his essence because he wants to connect with us. When a Gentile studies Torah, he's just getting the subject. He's not getting the godliness in the Torah. He's not getting the spirituality in the Torah. He's just getting the subject. So that's why only in our Torah do we call it base. We call it, it's connected to something else. Because in our Torah, there is something else in there. But in the Gentile's Torah, it's just the subject that it is. It's like any other book. When you study any other book, you have what's in the book, and that's it. And when we study Torah, it's not just the subject. There's fire there. There's godliness there. So there's holiness there. Okay. But a question could still be asked. The question could be asked is, you haven't followed so far?
I have a lot of questions about that.
So give us one of them.
Okay. How do you know for sure that when a Gentile studies Torah, they doesn't feel something in his soul? Because how many converts are Gentiles and become Jewish? And clearly, for them to want to become Jewish, they had to feel something in their soul to want to go down that path, right?
It's a great question. And there's certainly Gentiles who feel something spiritual in Torah, even if they don't convert to Judaism. And in fact, they should, because in fact, the Torah says, it is your wisdom and understanding to the eyes of nations, meaning that nations can get the wisdom of Torah. In other words, the Torah emphasizes about itself, it's wisdom and understanding to the eyes of the nations. That means nations, all Gentiles, should realize, well, there's something wise about this book, right? Something special about this book. That's all true. Gentiles could feel something spiritual in it. They could feel this wisdom in it. But there's a difference between, let's say this, there's a difference between kissing someone you love and saying and kissing someone that you don't love. Okay?
That's great for me.
You could give someone a kiss, but you don't really love them. And so you're just doing this for a formality. Like the previous Rebbe said, it used to be when Chassidim met, even if they gave a handshake, there was fire, there was life there. Now the previous Rebbe said people kiss each other in their face and they hate each other. So when Hashem gave us His Torah, He put into it something different because it's for us. When you play patty cakes with your child, you're playing patty cakes. But if it's your child, you put your whole soul in the game because it's your child. It's not the patty cakes itself that has that summons your that stimulates your intellect. It's that because it's your child, your whole soul is present in the patty cakes game. Because Hashem gave us the Torah because He loves us.
It's meant for us.
So when He gives it to us, He puts His whole soul into it. There's something more in what He's giving to us. In other words, we're learning the same book. Just like in Egypt, it says that when the Jewish people were in Egypt and the water changed to turn into blood. So it says if a Jew and a Gentile were drinking from one cup, a cup of water, and they're using two different straws, the Jewish straw would have water, and the Gentile straw would just have blood. It's because Hashem didn't want the Gentiles in Egypt to have water at that time. Similar way, this is a far off example. Similar way, when Hashem gives us the Torah to each of us, our God's children, God wants to give us His essence in the Torah. It's not naturally there. Hashem puts that into us when He gives it to us. So when
He's asking for us to take that info, to get that spiritual energy, compared to the Gentile that's doing it and can never get it, just like you said with the water.
Right. He can only get the information, which is taka wisdom and taka magical and taka amazing, and he should get how amazing it is. That's true. But forget about the amazingness of it. Forget about the magic of it. Forget about the attraction in it. Forget about the appeal that it has. We're talking about something otherworldly. We're talking about a godly light that we don't feel either. That we don't feel either, unless we're having a very good prayer that day and we sense. But I'm saying that's something that we either feel the light of Torah every day. We don't feel it, but it's there because Hashem wants to connect with us. It's about Hashem wanted to give us something more. When you study Torah, it's a kissing. The Zohar says, just like when you kiss, there's a connection of the breath of two people kissing. So too, when we study Torah, there's a connection of spirit to spirit. There's a connection of our spirit to Hashem's spirit. There's something intimate about studying Torah. There's an intimate connection here. And Hashem wants that connection with us, therefore He puts that in the Torah. Okay. The question was this. Why? There isn't just the Torah in this world, right? There's Torah in the higher worlds. When Moses first got the Torah, Nachmanides says, it was analogous to someone copying from a book. Copying from some primordial book. So Moses had, there's a book in heaven, and Moses copying down from that book in heaven. What did it say in the book in heaven? Did the book in heaven start with a beis or with an aleph? You think it starts with an aleph. But if it's a copy, it has to be a beis. So that means that even the Torah in heaven also has to have a beis. But why does that have a beis? Our Torah is called 2.0 because we realize there's something deeper in it. But why is the Torah in heaven called Torah number 2? Our Torah is called number 2 because we do something else in it besides the subject matter. There's also the spirituality, there's also the godliness in it.
Is there hidden information
So our Torah has hidden information for sure, like we were discussing yesterday about the Zohar. Remember the Zohar, the secrets of the Torah. So that's why our Torah is called, has a beis, because it has something more in it, not just a physical subject. It's just beis, this is 2.0, there's something deeper in it. But also the Torah in heaven, in Atzilus, in the highest world, the world of godliness, it also starts with the beis. Why does that Torah start with the beis? Because, like this. Because there is the infinite light of Hashem in the Torah that's beyond any subject in Torah. In other words, any subject. Let me say it this way.
Hashem has the blueprint. No one else can see it.
It's more than that. Let me say it this way. The Torah is called a parable for the primordial one. A parable for the primordial.
What?
Yeah, exactly. It's called a parable. Let's say it that way. The Torah is called Torah 2.0 because it's a parable for something deeper. It's not that the subject isn't only what we have over here. It's a parable to something else that's conveying beyond what we're getting in the subject matter. That's why it's called a parable. There's something more, right? It's called 2.0. It's a parable for something deeper. And there is a way Torah is studied in higher worlds. And every world studies Torah, higher and higher. They're all studying Torah. Fine. There is the Torah studied also in the highest world, in the world of Atzilus. And even the way the Torah is studied in the highest world, in the world of Atzilus, and in that world, the Torah, the conversation is something we can't even imagine what they're talking about. The spiritual things they're talking about, and the divine energies over there, the manifestation. And by the way, I didn't mention this, but every single question and answer in Torah that we have in the Talmud also exists in the spiritual worlds. Every subject in the Gemara, every opinion in the Gemara, every back and forth in the Gemara has a spiritual meaning to it. There's a back and forth, there's a spiritual back and forth. So everything in Torah has a spiritual meaning to it. It's not just a physical Torah. That's all true. But that even the Torah in heaven, even the Torah in the world of Atzilus, it also starts with a base. As Rabbi Reber pointed out before, why does that Torah start with a base? Because beyond the subject of Torah, even the highest, deepest subject of Torah, beyond all that, there is something else. There is the infinite light of Hashem in the Torah. There is the Torah as it's studying the world of divinity, and it's all divine subjects, fine. Beyond the subject, there is, in the language of the Snapple bottles, Torah is made of the best stuff, not just on earth. It's made from the best stuff, it's made from the infinite light of Hashem. It's made from the divine light of Hashem. It's not just made of any, even the highest subject of matter of Torah, it's still a base. It's not what Torah is. Torah is the essence of Hashem. And that's why...
So there is no Aleph then.
Oh, the Aleph is the essence of Hashem. We'll get to it later, Mr. Hashem, next class, God willing. But the Aleph goes in the essence of Hashem. It's called Beis, because whatever you're going to study about Torah, it's not it.
Everything is a Beis, because the infinite light is the Aleph.
Is the Aleph. So even if you're studying Torah in Atzilus, it's still Mishal Kanumei, it's still a parable for the primordial one. What's the primordial? Who's the primordial one? Hashem himself. He's the primordial one. He's the one who existed before the world. So the Torah is called a parable. So there's two reasons why it's called a parable. It's called a parable because there's spiritual meaning to it, and high, more and more spiritual meanings, higher and higher worlds, and even the world of divinity. Then there's another reason why it's called a parable, because whatever subject you're talking about, it's not really what Torah is. Torah is really the essence of Hashem. Torah is Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's infinity. And that's what we get to when we connect the Torah. Hashem, we'll get into that point next class. Good Chodesh.